the name of Jesus, we come this morning. We thank you for all you have done for us and continue to do for your people. We thank you for the word of grace, the message of the hour you have given to them that trust in you. Father, now bless every soul that is here this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, the message you have shown that in time to come, not too distant from now, thousands will be listening to some of these messages. Father, any soul that will listen to the message we've preached in this place, let it be an awakening to them in Jesus' name of the soon coming of Christ. And let it energize them that believe in you, Lord. And even those that doesn't know you, Lord, let it bring them to the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for these people. Thank you for every need, every desire here this morning. We've prayed and we asked that whoever will be here this day and have a burden in their heart and have a desire, Lord, something they want you to do, Lord, grant it in Jesus' mighty name, that we may go back fulfilled and be thankful because you, the Lord, has done great things for them that trust in you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. A little strange topic this morning, but it's in line with the word of God. Just bear with me, please. You say, where the eagles gather, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Where the eagles gather, blessed be the name of the Lord. The eagle is a special bird. In case you don't know, just for a start, this is a picture of an eagle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So the topic this morning is where the eagles gather. Amen. And God is going to raise at this end time a small, small pocket of places where the eagles will gather. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I bless the name of the Lord that this is one of the places shall be. Amen. It is already is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I don't know which scripture you are going to read from, but I hope it is the King James Version. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 27 to 28. Matthew 24, please, can you put, we are going to be in a rush. We have a marriage workshop. We want to get this right going first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28. For the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Open Luke 17:37 for us, please. Luke 17, verse 37. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagle be gathered together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The gathering of the eagles. Amen. Or where the eagles are gathered. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This will be a kind of teaching prophetic message. And as I say, it will appeal to those it will appeal to. I'm not saying this for the congregation here, but for those God have shown me will log in and listen to this in time to come, when God will start to do certain things in this land and all over the whole world. It will appeal to some, it will not appeal to some. But God will raise up a people, an eagle to his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And where the carcass is, or the body is, there shall the eagles gather. Amen. And it will be to the glory of the Lord. Amen. It will be to the glory of the Lord. Let me just quickly say that the scripture there, the eagles that's being talked about, is supposed to be the true church of God, the body of Christ. Now, The body or the carcass we are talking about is the word of God. We will go a little more in detail later on as we use this as an example later on, what we have here. I'm sure many will be coming to church and say, what is that sign they have there on the pulpit? Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is the meaning of it? We'll try to explain it today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I'll read. The body of Christ are not called to the rank of scavengers or vultures. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a special rank. But the body of Christ, the people of the Lord, the people of the end time, are not called to the rank of scavengers or vultures, but as an eagle. This prophetic analogy implies that this noble and majestic bird, called the eagle, possesses some admirable natural characters and qualities. Because they have certain characters and qualities, God now used an eagle to liken to the body, true body of Christ. And we are going to take it one by one. There are certain characters that this eagle's majestic bird possesses that made them so exceptional that nations, kingdoms, corporations, entities, religious entities often adopt it on their emblems as a living symbol of their caliber and stature. You go out there, you see, you know, some of you might super egos, Philadelphia egos, military people, they have egos. The nation of America, go to the White House, you see the eagle in the big, this thing sitting right behind Trump or Obama or whoever is there. You see it in different entities, religions, old and new one, adopting eagle as an emblem, in their emblem, as an example, identifying them in their stature and caliber, what they are. What is this thing about an eagle that God now uses even his children as an example? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You don't see anybody putting pigs or vultures on their ensign as they do the eagle. Now, I want you to know from the beginning that the only creation that seems to change their identity, their character, their nature is human being. Every other thing that God has created, they do not go against their God-ordained nature. Because we are given a free will, like Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, don't put it on the screen, indicate that he has given us a choice, a willful choice, to decide whom to follow. Choose ye this day whom to follow, whether it be the Lord, whether it be the enemy. If you choose, it is your choice. But when it comes to animal, the nature that God put in them will always manifest in them. Whether it be a lion, a lion will always be a lion. A wolf will always be a wolf. And so, an eagle, we identify with the nature, the character that God imbued in them from creation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says that God created me and you in his image. And so, is there something in the nature of God, in the image of God, that God also created in this bird that identifies with that nature, whereby he says the body of Christ, the true eagles, we gather only where that word is, identifying us as an eagle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. As we review the seven characters, about seven of them, a little more than seven, but we'll choose seven this morning. We'll only zoom on one or two. Our natural abilities of eagles. We will see why God likened them to his body, the true church of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Are you an eagle this morning? If you are an eagle, shout hallelujah. If you are a vulture, shout hallelujah. Nobody will shout that one because none of us are vultures. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The eagles will identify to these characters. The eagles will identify to these natures we are going to pick one by one. And if you are an eagle for the Lord, and you are not showing these characters, or these characters are dormant in your life, or these characters are being overlooked in your life, then you need to rethink. We stand for the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We identify about seven of them this morning. One of the characters of eagle is that the eagles, they flock together. Amen? They don't mix with other birds. Open 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. Eagles, they flock together. They don't mix with other birds. They are in a realm of their own. They don't seek to belong. They don't seem to match, to assimilate the nature of other birds. They are standing alone in their own position, where God has ordained them to be. Today, we see, even after the Bible has warned us what is going on, and we're going to go into more details, the mixture, the identification that many of us Christians have put on themselves is not that of an ego. We have made ourselves a vulture in some cases, a scavenger, which God has not called us to that rank. He says, be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? Opens for me also Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Hebrews 10, 25, please. Let's hurry it up a little today. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the days approaching. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One of the traits or qualities of ego is that they come together. And they don't mix up with other birds. They stand apart. But look at the two scriptures that God has given us as a warning about belonging, mixing, identifying with the world. When we talk of prophetic message at times, it's not, you know, like the type that people maybe want to hear, but it touches some core things in you if you are a true child of God. It's not just message of prosperity that should excite you. It's not just message of, okay, what God will do to your enemies. It's not just the message of what will happen for you or blessing. It's also an exhortation to purify you, to make you to seek a higher goal, to think of what you are. What does it really mean to be a Christian? Is it to dress up and come to church? Is it to show off? Is it some kind of club that you belong to? That you just show up. What does it mean to be a Christian? And if you find yourself default or not in that standard, you walk to elevate yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That is why we preach. That is why we speak this word of edification, to make you a better Christian, to seek a higher standard from where you are to a higher level. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So one quality of the ego is that they stand alone. They don't mix. They don't identify the nature of the world. They don't seek to be like the world. They know that they are sojourners. They know that they are in transit. They are here for a purpose and a purpose, one purpose alone, to glorify the name of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To show his glory to this world. The second character or quality of eagle is that eagles are the only bird that find peace in a storm. Of all the birds and animals that God created, When a storm is blowing, when it started to darken, every one of them look for shelter or run away, ego rise the storm to an advantage. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Does that make sense to you? That of all creation of animals, even with us human beings, when there is a storm blowing, you look for a shelter right away, you run away. But eagles ride the storm to an advantage. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They find peace in the midst of storm. They are fearless in the face of adversity. They rise higher with the wind. And there are two things about them that allows them to be able to ride the storm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They have two types of eyes. One of the eyes they ride, they use when things are normal. They are just flying around. But when a storm is coming, eagle's focus changes. Their vision goes from one level to another level. Another thing they do is that they have the ability to lock their wings. Their wings become locked, like you push it into a gear and you cannot change it to the left, you cannot change it to the right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You, a Christian, in the midst of storms of life, if you go into the battle of life with carnal, with natural eyes, you will sink. But if your vision changes to internal, not to focus on things around you, not to focus on the situation around you, but your vision moves, no matter what it is, no matter the circumstances, your vision moves from the temporal to the spiritual, you are an overcomer in Jesus' name. When ego is in the storm, they don't fear the storm, they rise with the storm. They use the storm to an advantage. They change their focus. Their vision changes from A to B. They become something else altogether. If you see the eye of an eagle at that time, the focus changes, the zooming, the ability, the wind, the storm, nothing will divert them from where they are going. And then they rock their wing, and when they rock their wing, which you are supposed to do as a child of God, you rock your wing as you rock in your faith. In the midst of the trial, you suddenly say, and you suddenly know that my Redeemer liveth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you fix your faith in such that enemies, whisperers, them that will discourage you, them that will push you to the left or to the right, you will not adhere to it. You stand firm knowing whom you have believed. Let us quickly look at Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4 to 5. Isaiah 25, verse 4 to 5. I said, before we read this place, that the major, okay, let's read it. For thou hast been a strength to the poor. Amen. A strength to the needy in his distress. A refuge from the storm. A shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. This is what the eagle does in a storm. When every other thing are running away, when they are sheltering and looking for a way to hide and panicking and stuff, they ride the storm to their advantage, because me and you can relate to this scripture, knowing that no matter what the enemy is pushing or throwing at you, it says that all things will work together for good for them that believe in him. Can you say amen? Amen. They accomplish this by two measures. They change their eyesight, their vision. People, when they're going through trial times, tend to relate with what has happened around them. Somebody have this sickness, and that sickness killed them. You relate to that. You will not relate to what God has done or relate to things that God has said in his word. If you haven't had a testimony to that regard, then you will be on the losing side. When the enemy will come to you like a flood, and God is raising a standard, and you don't see the standard that God is raising, but your eyes is on the flood, then your faith will take a turn to the worse. But if you know, and you know in your heart, that no matter what is going on, God has raised a standard for me already, and you rejoice in the salvation of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, you will ride the storm like an eagle. Amen? I say you will ride the storm like an eagle. Amen. You will not be like the vultures or the scavengers or other birds of prey, that when the storm is coming, they quake and tremble and they panic and they hide. You will stand in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will change your focus to what God can do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not what you can do, not what the pastor can do for you, not what your mother or father can do for you, not what your friends can do. You will change your focus, move it from dimension one to dimension two, what God can do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And when you change your focus, you rock your wing. You shift it to such that it cannot be pushed to park. It cannot be pushed the other way, neutral. It will just be on that way you glide and ride with the wind to safer glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is one of the qualities of the ego. We read that hymn, say, the Lord is our rock. In him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide. Jesus Christ is a shelter in the time of storm. He says, shade by day, defense by night. God is our shelter in the time of storm. No fears or alarm, no foes or fright. God remains our shelter in the time of storm. Beside the raging storm that might round us beat, God remains a shelter for us in the time of storm. Therefore, we shall never run or neither retreat, because our rock defined, our refuge is a shelter in the time of storm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Learn to change your focus when the storms of life is blowing around you. Move it from the carnal to the spiritual. Move it from the temporal to the eternal. Learn to rock your wings and don't allow yourself to be shifted, because God is a shelter in the time of storm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Three. Eagles, we have said, have a strong vision. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, 18. They have a strong vision. They are able to pierce the veil. They are able to see beyond what you can just imagine. At 10,000 feet in the air, they can see a small animal down there on the ground. Higher, higher, higher up, as they can see it in such a way that you and I, as a human being, cannot even fathom. But here is the point I want to bring, because I say that God called us eagles for a purpose. And I started to bring out the characters of eagles, the qualities that you see in eagles. So where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. But he that keepeth the law is he, happy is he. At times, we go into things without vision. I'm not just talking of the kind of vision that God in his grace has given me, whereby I see things before they happen. God shows me things many a times, and I give him the glory. It's not a source of boasting, but I give him glory for that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the dreams and things, I see things at times, so many of them, it's just baffling. And some of these things is so clear what God intends to do, or what he, and for it, I use it to God's glory and warn and warn and warn or pray. I'm just talking of vision as a human being. Many of us have no vision of their Christian life. What is your purpose as a Christian? What vision do you have as a Christian? When you don't have a vision of whom you are, or understand what you belong, what you are, what God has called you to do, then you cannot progress much in your Christian life. He said, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. In the days of Israel, there was a time it was a dry spell. There was no vision, no open vision, he says. And the whole land was dying until God brought forth Samuel. And when Samuel came, the word of the Lord came with him. And he started to declare the vision we are talking about. He's able to see beyond the veil, beyond the natural, beyond what me and you can see, into God's plan, purpose for the day, for the time, for the hour you are living in. What is God's plan? What is the vision that God has given you for the time we are living in? Is it to make all money and be rich? Is it to have children and have abundance? Is it to have a big mega church or whatever? What is the vision that God has given you? What are you doing to fulfill those visions that God has given you? If you don't have a vision, then your spiritual life will take a downward spiral. But I pray that it shall not be our portion in Jesus' name. If you are an ego, you will have a strong vision. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Another character of ego is that egos are faithful, even to their young and to their partners for life. Amen. Amen. Faithfulness, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards. Me and you are called to be stewards for Christ. A steward is a manager. A steward is him that oversees the affairs of their master. A steward is a position of trust. A position that you cannot take for granted. You are supposed to render an account of your stewardship. And the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bible has said that it is required for me and you to be found faithful. Faithful in what? Is he faithful in serving the Lord? Yes. Is he faithful in fulfilling the obligation God has called us to? Yes. Egos are faithful even in life to their partners. This bird, after they do, which I'm not going to go into describing, the dance of mating or whatever, to bring the trust of one another to bear, they take on a spouse, let's just say a husband or a wife, and they remain faithful to that spouse for the rest of their life. They don't hop from place to place. They don't divorce. They don't run away from that relationship. They remain faithful for life. These are based on research. Egos does not run rules. They remain faithful to one partner for all their life. Look at the body of Christ today. Every nook and corner, there is divorce, there is cheating, there is immorality, there is lack of trust. Husband cannot trust their wife. Wife cannot trust their husband because many of us are not following the edicts of God. God has said in his word that we are to be like this bald eagle. There is a dance they do at the beginning of courtship. One of them will pick up a stick and fly up to the heavens and drop it. The other one will catch it and fly and they do it. And after they've done whatever God has created in them and they decide that this is my mate or partner for life, that one partner is theirs for life until the end of their days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you wonder why God chose them to identify to us. He said, where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. I said, eagles are wise. They are also a very wise bird. I'll bring it out. Caring with strong principle. They have a principle. A principle person, a principle child of God will not trade like Esau did in those days, you know, their inheritance, their God-given right, their God-given ability for something that doesn't agree with the word of God. He will not trade that. They are caring and very strong principle bird. They make their nest on a secure crag on a high rock, as much as 10,000 feet. They train and care for the young ones together till maturity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then, at a point, they steer the nets. They teach the eaglets how to fly and how to behave. Let me go quickly and explain one of another unique characteristics of this eagle. Now, I want you to know, as we go along, that the mother eagle, in a way, is the Holy Spirit. And God also referred to me and you as an eagle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And eagle, when they are raising their children, when they are about to give birth to the young ones or hatch, they build their nest in a special way. Their mate will go and gather a very strong wood and fly all the way from the ground to 10,000 feet or wherever they are in the nest of the crag of a high rock or top of pine trees or wherever that is far up there. They start to build their nest. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. They put the big woods around the edges. Then they fill the middle with some, you know, shrubs and stuff and so on. Then they go and gather thorns, and put in the midst of that nest. Their nest could be as big as this because they are big birds. After they put that thorns, then they put a softer stuff like leaves and stuff on top of the thorns. Then they took feathers, either their own or pick on feathers, and put it to make it comfortable for their children. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then they put a hatch on top of this. Along the way, the birds are hatched. And they have this nice warm environment to be able to stay and enjoy the family relationship. But at a time, as the Bible says, as eagles tire their nest, it's time for the young ones to move. It's time for them to learn what this world is all about. But they are already comfortable with the way things are. Now, I want you to know, and not just talk of the eagle, think yourself as the eaglet, as the mother eagle, as the Holy Spirit. So when it is time for them to now realize what it means to be called a child of God, for through many strifes and trials, we come to our ultimate salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then they start to steer their nest. They start to move things around. One of the things that they will do is to take away the soft materials. The feather goes, and the eaglet, you know, it's no more comfortable. And you wonder at times, me and you, things happen that doesn't make us comfortable. It's not meant to discourage you. It is not meant to destroy you. The Holy Spirit is allowing some of these trials that you are going through, some of this frustration, some of these hindrances. The enemy is throwing it like a dart on you. It is not meant to pull you down. God is allowing you to learn something through the whole process. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But how many of us will stand to learn? How many of us will throw our hand? How many of us will go against the scriptures when things are not going the way you want it to be? In every situation in your life, and the Bible is true, it says, let all men be liars, but let God be true. Every situation will always work together for good for them that trust in the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you have to learn to put it in place. When the Holy Spirit is starting to steer that nest, when the feathers are stripped away, the leaves go, and you find yourself sitting on the thorn, it is time for the eaglets to learn that it's time to leave this place. I'm going to fly to a higher level. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Put your hands together if you agree with that. It is not to dampen your faith or destroy you. It is to take you to ride that storm to a higher level. Then the eaglets, they find a nice spot where there is not squat, you know, kicking them like they want it. They maneuver around the thorns. They find this place to hide. Their mother says, out of time, no, something has to be done. He picked them and put them on their shoulder. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He put the little eaglets on her wings. And he said, hey, mom is flying with me. This looks nice for now. He fly through. Then he took a dive right into the heavens. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he flew and left the little grace to fall off. I'm falling, I'm about to die. When it just looks like no hope is lost, this Holy Spirit will come under and the little bird will perch on the mother's bed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you look that all hope is gone, the Holy Spirit is just teaching me and you that this thing that we call our life is all in his hand. And he will not allow you to be destroyed. He will not allow you to be put to shame. Your children will not be put to shame. It doesn't matter the angle they are taking now, God will bring them right back in Jesus' name. Those things about your life, there seems to be nothing right. God will put it in place. We take them to this high level. And they start to feel like everything is hanky-panky. And it swooped under them. And they started to fall. And then, you know one thing that happened as they fall? They started to learn that this, my wing, is not for nothing again. They start to shake their wing. Say, praise the Lord, everybody. Say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You start to shake your wing. And suddenly, the little eagles, this my feathers, this my wing is for purpose. And they start to learn to fly. That's the purpose. So let us not be weary. Let us not be tired. Open for me Deuteronomy chapter 32, just to buttress what I'm saying with the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. Deuteronomy 32, 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as an eagle stirred up her nest, it's in the Bible, floated over her young, there's a time to flutter over you, the Holy Spirit will flutter over you. But when it's time for you to go to a higher level in the Lord, when it's time for promotion to come, you will find that thorns and thistles under you start to poke. The enemy will come from different ways and try to poke and shake you. And then you start to squiggle away, and the mother puts the Holy Spirit puts you on the shoulder and take a dive. You say, as the eagle started up her nest, floated over her young, spreaded abroad her wings, taking them, buried them on her eagle wings. So shall the Holy Spirit bear each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Through your hardships, through your agony, as you raise the midnight cry unto God, as you seek his face and say, Lord, how do I get out of this? What can I do to overcome in this situation? I say the Holy Spirit will bear you in his wings in the name of Jesus, and you shall excel and overcome. You may ride the storm, but you will ride the storm to an advantage, not disadvantage, in Jesus' name. You will ride the storm to victory, not to be vanquished in the name of Jesus, because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is watching over you. Sixth one, another character of this eagle that is so unique. They don't consume dead things. Eagle doesn't eat dead things. They only eat fresh meat. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They don't consume dead things. They prefer flesh kill, fresh revelation, not dead old doctrines, not all dead religions, not all dead things that is picked from this scripture and twatted around. When God gave us a revelation to do this, we put this on our, this thing. Here is an ego. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a revelative scroll. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That shows you, that shows that many that the Lord will come, they will, from the word of God, pick up revelation to the glory of God. Put your hands together, everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. It may not appear so, but God is bringing it to pass. And God will establish his word. That vision he gave us, that revelation he gave us, God will manifest it in Jesus' mighty name. Not only to this body, but to all the body of Christ, them that will trust in him and believe in him and line up themselves with the word of God. Amen. The carcass, as we say, is the word. The body is the ego. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Just like the podium here with the sign we have here, you are the eagles. You are the eagles of the Lord. You will pick revelations from these things. Amen. The so-called church today has become scavengers. Pay attention to this next one. They eat their things. One of the things that is happening that is going on in the church today, I'm going to start to bring it out to you. And I want you to listen. This is the main area that I want to talk about. I will not stay for long because we need to round up soon. But the church has become having itching ear regarding to the word. They don't want to hear the truth. They come to where the truth is, they run out as fast as they come. Once they hear anything that does not agree with them, they don't stay. They rather go to where they feel good. They rather go to where they feel good with the system, rather than to stay and hear the word of God. They don't want to hear about righteousness. They don't want to hear about humbling themselves before the Lord. They want to hear about how to get along with their spouses, on forgiveness, on love. And this, no, they will rather take the position of adversity instead of becoming like Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The church is moving on to what they call multiculturalism. In other words, they want a multicultural kind of environment. Bring your culture, whether you're a Muslim. Bring your culture, whether you're a Buddhist. Bring your culture, whether you're an unbeliever. Bring a culture, whether you're a dubious individual that calls themselves a Christian. Let us merge it together. There is only one culture that God has called me and you into, and that is the culture of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. They are now into pluralism. That is, pluralism makes less everything be merged together, and there is no difference. We are coming to a point here, and that is not what. It's a perversion teaching, alternate lifestyle, every kind of doctrines of hellspawns, demonic inspired ideology is now being brought out in the church of Christ. A mega church owner the other day, I was listening to him on CNN of all places. He's now going against the scriptures left, right, front, and back. I'm not talking of a few hundred people or whatever. I'm talking of thousands and thousands of adherents. Going against the scripture without shame. Like a dog. Many has returned to their vomit. As in Babylon, as in America today, what the church has become, and I'm not speaking about the church, I said that thousands will be hearing some of this cry, the clarion call that is being made from here, the trumpet that is sounding and say, let us change from our ways. Before God will start to judge and start even from the household of faith. He said money is now become their God. Pleasure is now the high priest. And unbridled passion is the ritual of worship. The fear of God is no more in the equation. The Bible is being changed to fit us. Rather than us fitting the word of God. Shameless people, devoid of the fear of God or faith of God, are now leading thousands and thousands into damnation and hell. It's not supposed to be so. That is not an ego. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Selling the worship of God, selling the things of God for money. Greed has perverted the churchhold of God. That is wrong. Money should not be our God. Pleasures of life should not be our high priest. Unbuilding passion should not be the ritual of our worship. Rather, we should be exalting, and it should be exalting the name of the Lord. We should exalt the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody exalt his name in this house today. Somebody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a movement that will start to show up very soon. It's been underground, but it's coming. The snakes are raising their head. They are becoming bold to gain access to the throne of power, to become known, to become recognized. There's a movement, but God shall dethrone every one of them in Jesus' name. That movement is uphold that we are overcommitted to the scripture. Overcommitted. Overcommitted. That's the movement. And that the scripture is not divine, and we are overcommitted to it. Therefore, marriage to one woman is overcommitted to the scripture. That's not what the Bible says. Love your neighbor, do righteousness, exalt the name of the Lord, forbear every perverse doctrine that is being imbued. It's called overcommitted to the scripture, and which their translation says that it is not, the Bible is not divine. I say from this pulpit that the Bible is divine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I say it again with my heart, my being, everything in me, that God's word is divine. And that heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one single word of the Lord shall fall to the ground. He established it from the beginning, and he will see it to the end in Jesus' mighty name. Some well-known ministers among the Pentecostals are among the advocates. They now promote what they call interfaith religion, a mixture of all port of hell, Babylon in manifestation. Muslims are there, Christians are there, whatever it is, they bring it together and say, let us be one. Egos does not mix. They stand alone, they stand apart. They don't die with the scavengers. They don't go to eat rotten things. While the pigeons are squabbling on the ground, they are flying above the storm in Jesus' name. That is the egos of the Lord. That is the calling that God has given each and every one of us. I don't call myself a prophet or anything. I just call myself a child of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But hear this. If you are an ego, you cannot be comfortable among them. A minister came to me a few weeks ago. In a noble place he was serving. And suddenly they have adopted some new ideologies. And he said, bro, my heart cannot stay in this. But he has invested his life in that ministry. He has invested his time in it. And he said, how can I stay in this? It is against the word of God. And he's looking for a way of an escape. I gave him some advices. God will start to pull his children from these days, from these places, from these places, from these places. We shall start to refuse. We will not bow to their doctrines. We will not bow to their religions. We will not succumb to their admonition. We will take the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Interfaith reconciliation. That's what they call it. Interfaith reconciliation. The body of Christ, I said here, is losing its spiritual equilibrium. That is balance. The greatest danger of the church is not the power of hell. For Christ has overcome for us and has promised and will raise a standard when the enemy comes like a flood. So the power of hell is vanquished and vanquished forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The danger, the greatest danger, is the subtle false teaching that erodes the foundation of our faith. The serpent only have to say one thing on that Garden of Eden. He came to Eve. He didn't say, come with his power and might. He just went, has God said? It threw a doubt to her faith. And that one single word, a deviation from the truth, to doubt the true divine word of God, brought the downfall of mankind. As God said, today it is now the norm on many of these churches. They are now planting seed of doubt on your faith and saying, has God said? Has God said that sodomy is evil? Has God said that mixing your faith, interfaith, reconciliation, agreeing some of the Quran and takes some of the word of God and scrub some of the Buddhism and take this and this and mix them all in one pot? Has God said? He said, be ye separate. Amen. Be ye separate. The Lord has called us to a standard. Not to us to brag about it, but for us to walk in love. And like an eagle, they fly up the heart. The scallions and the scavengers are all there fighting over dead meat. When they see that living thing, that little rabbit running around, from 10,000 feet they come and right in their midst, he pick them up and fly up again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are not to be among them. Be ye separate from among them. He start to advertise. Amen? The danger is in the corruption of the world, the organization of the Holy Spirit out of the church, whereby he is now standing at the door crying, come out of her, my people. Through the ages, each branch started out well with God, with good intention. Then they introduce human ideology. Then they have erosion of the truth. Then the cancer festers until it becomes an original shelf of itself. I will only use two quick examples here, please. Martin Luther was one of them. He was a burning branch, a fairy branch plucked out of Catholicism. He started to issue a clarion call. He blew the trumpet and sounded the alarm that justification is by faith. Martin Luther. And that justification is faith in God's grace and not in our works of righteousness. Through many trials, he led the charge of Protestantism. He brought off the Protestant organization, teaching them that the work of faith, that the just shall live by faith. And he spearheaded something that astonished the powers that be. Emperors, kings, nations start to tremble under the power of the world. Only one single revelation. That eagle came swooping down and picked one single revelation that the just shall live by faith, and it changed the face of the whole world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The just shall live by faith and not by the work of righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. Somebody help me. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. Complete. I am complete in him. Complete in him. Amen. I am complete in him. We're going to round up pretty quick. After Martin Luther came Wesley, he was a shining light. He issued a clarion call for sanctification, and he went forth in his era. Sanctified people, the Methodist, wonderful people, started off well. Where is the Lutherans today? The doctrines have changed. Their original shelf has gone through the window. Sanctification, I'm not going to go into folks and the many of them that came in that era. And they started to preach the true word of God. The danger was not Satan or the power of hell, is the subtle introduction of false doctrines into the churches. Today, where are they? The anointing gone. The Holy Spirit is standing at the door. So I say this message is not necessary for this church. For God has shown and proved to me that many will log in and start to listen at this end time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then after the era of sanctification, now we have the Pentecostal, or the so-called Pentecostal. The church has come bearing the Pentecostal Holy Ghost, and it was wonderful. It is fast becoming a nest of worms. I say it by the Spirit of the Lord. The Pentecostal are losing, as fast becoming a nest of worms. That which the canker worm or the palmer worm has eaten, the locust came and devoured. After the locust, this one, the caterpillars, all of them, they just keep, that's what is happening. Each one will come and take out something until it is also not gone. Greed, isms, watered-down religion is now the norm. Some mega churches have made every effort to become politically correct. And righteousness is now a byword. And the smaller churches, in order to compete, are trying to adapt. Brethren, we need to stand up and watch. We're going to round up in this last one. I'm not going to go into detail on this. But I want to encourage us. The Bible says that in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 3, say, my people have committed two evils. One is that they have forsaken the fountain of living water and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken one for God's sake, that can hold no water. One is that they have forsaken the Lord and his ways and make themselves false religion, cisterns that can hold no water, when the real fountain of the living water is there for me and for you. May God help us in Jesus' name. May God help us in Jesus' name. Some of them raise as much as 30 million in one Sunday or something, because people are associating to it. But I want to tell you that the eagles will start to move out from those dead religions in Jesus' mighty name and associate with the true word of God. Church, it's not supposed to be a social club. Source, it's not supposed to be a go-feel-good place. It's a place that you may have to change and adapt, like they go on the last point we are bringing up. But I want to tell each one of us this morning, be of good cheer, amen? For the Lord has promised in Joel chapter 2:25. He said, I will restore. Can you put that on the scripture as we round up in the next few minutes? God has promised in Joel chapter 2:25. Joel 2:25, he said, I will restore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, verse 25, please. Amen. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts had eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worms, and that great time in which I said among you, the Lord said, I will restore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a prophetic word. We can't go into it. For by his grand grace, for by his divine grace, amen, there shall be light at the evening time. Lastly, the last quality of an eagle. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, the last quality of an eagle that I'm bringing out today. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Please hurry up. Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah 40, 31. Amen. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. If you are an eagle, you will fit right here in Jesus' name. Even the young one shall run and faint. How does an eagle renew their strength? This majestic bird, when they start at a point in their life, they start to feel the feathers and things become old. They can't fly well. You know what they do? They go find a cave somewhere. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They go inside the cave. They go inside the depth of the cave and they go there. Not to die, but to renew their strength. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They knock off their bed that is getting old. This pig, the pig they have, they shook it off. The talons, they broke it off. Then they start to shed their bed, their feathers. What is an eagle without a feather? It's just an ordinary bed. What are you without the Holy Spirit? You are just not a Christian. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Without the Holy Spirit, without the anointing of God in your life, without the calling of God and the essence of God in you, we are nothing. When we find ourselves lacking in this, rather than throwing up your hand, you shall seek God and you shall find him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The eagle will pull off his feathers. This old thing that is worn out, this thing that is holding me down, they will pull it out one by one. They will pull it out and throw it away. And they will wait there for about 3 months or so. And then new feathers start to spring up. That's what the Bible says. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as they eagles. That's how eagles renew their strength. They do things that God has called them to do. God has called us to be eagle. How do you renew your strength? We're not going to go into detail in that today because of time. But you have to learn to renew your strength. One of the ways is to wait on the Lord. When we call a fasting meeting, we're not calling it for nothing. There's a purpose. There's a need. There's an urgent cry. You renew your strength. You renew your strength by going into the Word of God and sucking up oil and honey from the Word. You renew your strength by prayer. You renew your strength by turning from unrighteousness. You renew your strength by getting out of those your friends that is a hold down to your spiritual life. You renew your strength by finding a way to reconstruct your marriage, your life, your personal life into the righteousness of God and the plan and the will of God for your life. You start to renew your strength. You don't call up to die. You don't go and moan and cry over it. You find a way with the Lord. Eagle in the eye of the storm. They don't go down, they go up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The last scripture, the same thing. Psalm 103 verse 5. Please hurry up. Last scripture here. Psalm 103 verse 5. I wrote down here, what's an eagle without his bed? It's just another scavenger bird. What are we without the oil of the Holy Spirit? Nothing. It is time to trim your lamp. It is time to break up your fallow ground. It is time to renew your strength. For it is the Lord who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Stand up on your feet, everybody, and put a hand to the Lord. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Brethren, lastly, we are called out people. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation with a single purpose, to declare the praise of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. There will soon be a call to arms, a return to the old ways, detested and time-honored ways, causing a shifting of the weights from the chaff. Like eagles, do not contend for rotten food, but desire the sincere spiritual food that edifies. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, blessed be the name of the Lord, everybody. Say, blessed be the name of the Lord, everybody. Blessed be the name of the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. He will fill my thirsty soul to overflowing. Somebody help me out again. Yes, in the days of the lottery, he will fill my thirsty soul to overflow in with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost and fire. Sharp like a sick holy matter. As our Lord commanded me in the days of my life, He will fill my life today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost and fire. Commanded me, yes, in the diamond darkness, yes, He filled my day to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. One more time, everybody, join me. Holy Ghost and fire will fill my to overflowing. Allah, Father, bless your holy name. Grant grace that I will live for you. Yes, He will fill our today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. Father, is anybody here this morning or this noon? If their strength is failing, I pray you renew them in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray you give a wake-up call to the church of today, to all our brethren across the whole world. Father Jehovah God, that we will not compromise our faith, but stand on the firm rock, that rock of ages, the rock that never fell, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us, Jehovah God, to bear a shining light and to glorify you even in this generation. Revive thy work again, O Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the week. As thy word hath promised, that I will restore, says the Lord, and that at evening time there shall be light again. Do it so, O Lord. Even come Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.